And so that night I did. I went into my little apartment, pulled out my little blue garbage can, dug through, specifically was Oreo cookies, ate them, and then just sat on the floor and just had that low, like, what the hell did I just do? I just ate into a garbage. How is this my life? Like, how did I get to this point?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I just ate out of my garbage. Who am I?
Why, hello, friends. Lisa Dawn here. Welcome back to another episode of Healed Now What? Now, this one is just in time for the holiday season where overeating, overindulgence, and of course, dysregulation can make the holidays a struggle for so many of us. I mean, let's be honest, the holidays can be a total shit show, which is why I'm so happy we have Amber Romaniak on the show. Amber is an emotional eating, digestive, and hormone expert with over 10 years' experience helping high-achieving women create a level of body confidence, intuition, and optimal health through powerful mindset healing, self-care, and overcoming self-sabotage with food. She does this through addressing the key negative thoughts, patterns, and limiting beliefs that keep women stuck in the same behaviors for years and decades that they haven't been able to break. Her podcast, the No Sugar Coating Podcast, has over 1 million downloads, over 400 episodes, and is listened to in over 88 countries. Amber overcame her own emotional eating after gaining and losing more than 1,000 pounds and spending over 50,000 on binge eating foods and spending 5 years balancing her hormones, digestion. She's also dismantled her deep limiting beliefs and behaviors, keeping her stuck in the same looping patterns. Now she helps others achieve the biggest healing miracles of body freedom so they have the confidence and health to create amazing lives. Before we get into the show, I have something for you. So through a somatic and nervous system perspective, addictions can be thought of as our way of trying to turn down the dial of the threat we feel in an unhealthy way. We look at addictions as habits that are stuck in the nervous system through neuroplasticity in the brain. And from this angle, addictions, we think of them not so much as a disease, but a state. So we're not wrong or bad for being addicted to something, as addictions help us to survive when we don't know how to regulate our emotions and cope with stress. The challenge arises when the temporary relief provided by addictive behaviors leads to a cycle of dependence. So when we experience overwhelm, we are driven to change our internal or external environment to make ourselves feel safer. But when we live in dysregulation, we are likely to use maladaptive coping methods to deal with our overwhelming feelings. So we sometimes search for those immediate short-term solutions to our problems. So healing the nervous system from dysregulation actually reduces our risk of developing an addiction. So instead of using external sources to regulate our emotions and nervous system state, we can adopt healthier, safer methods of regulation, beginning with self-awareness and reframing our experiences. So for those of you who wish to turn down the dial of fear, overwhelming emotions, and learn how to self-regulate through challenging times, I'm offering $100 off my signature course, Reclaiming Resilience, for those listening to the show. Just enter the code FEELGOOD, all caps, at checkout to receive the discount. So on today's show, we chat about Amber's personal struggle with food and body image. We touch on topics like eating disorders, emotional eating, dieting, and physical health impacts. We also delve into the healing journey. We talk about self-love, self-care, hormone imbalances, stress management, and the beautiful concept of coming home to ourselves. We chatted about the need for compassion, self-awareness, and proactive management of eating patterns and emotional states. So Amber outlines some wonderful tips for managing behaviors around food, especially during the holiday season. So without further ado, please welcome Amber Romaniak to the show.
Well, hello, Amber. I am so excited that you are here. Thank you for coming on the show and spending some time with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Lisa. It's such a pleasure to be with you today.
Hey, Amber and I go way back. I think we've known each other since 2011, 2012. Yeah. I was trying to think about the first time that we actually met. Do you remember?
I believe it was through like when I worked at Dr. Reddy's clinic.
Oh, yes. The first time. Yeah.
The first time. And then from there, it was like through some energy healing groups. And then you used the Yum Yogi's food truck and it just like went from there.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I just love reflecting on all of these just epic connections, and especially with folks that I just really believe are here in such a beautiful and helping role such as yourself. And that kind of just leads me into my first question. What has led you to the work that you currently do today? So
yeah, that's okay. You want the long or the short version?
Whichever you prefer.
Thank you. I think it's always important to like share some of the key pieces, because I feel like, and just like you talk about on the show, we all have had experiences that push us through our struggles, our suffering, our dark nights of the soul, and the breakthroughs, the healing, you know, and stepping more into our power and remembering who we truly are. And, you know, there's a few key things that happened to me at a very young age that kind of fueled this unconscious binge emotional eating behavior that then just blew up in my face in my early 20s and became very conscious. But the first thing that happened, and this was probably one of the most impactful moments, was we had just moved out into the country. So now taking the school bus, first day taking the school bus, 5-year-old Amber with a mushroom cut and her big brown eyes and her little polka dot pink sweater gets on the bus. And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna make friends. It's gonna be so fun. And I get on the bus. And as soon as I do, the older boys yell at me. They call me ugly and fat. And then the entire bus is making fun of me. And it just crushed my soul, because I took it on. I believed them. I thought, well, if perfect strangers are saying this, it must be true. And I didn't know how to brush that kind of experience off. Who at 5 is equipped with to just be like, oh yeah, that's not a big deal. I wasn't. Yeah, totally. And so I really took that fat, ugly identity on for the next 20 years of my life and felt very insecure in my body. And then I think another thing that, you know, just shaped my relationship with food was that my mom, before I was born, was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And her case was a slow progressive case, but she'd get dizzy, she'd get lightheaded, her feet would go numb. So just certain symptoms were happening. And so there were certain activities and things we couldn't do. So she would compensate with food, I think, you know, as part of her guilt and things that she was dealing with, right? Because I feel like, you know, in her case, getting that kind of a diagnosis, almost like, how could you tend properly to your child in a way, like while you're also trying to figure out this, you know, diagnoses. And it wasn't her fault. She was doing the best she could. And she had a food addiction my whole life. And I kind of started lovingly noticing it once I healed. I'm like, oh, it's all the same stuff, right? So you just unconsciously start picking up these behaviors of just eating copious amounts of things and thinking it's normal, like eating 4 cookies and a chocolate bar is normal, and eating in front of the TV and having whatever food I wanted available all the time. And obviously that grows your cravings and you just think it's normal. And I was never taught how food can impact my physical health, my emotional or my energetic health, as most of us are not from a young age. And if you have been, then that's amazing. And so, you know, growing up, food was really a friend. But then you hit your teens and your tweens, and hello, Hollywood, Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera were like my idols, right? Magazines, music videos, TV, movies. We didn't have social media or cell phones yet, thank goodness.
That's right. Thank goodness for us.
Yeah. But all of that, right? And then you start comparing yourself and going, well, how come I don't have the flat stomach? How come my body doesn't look perfect like that when these media outlets are not telling you they're photoshopping, editing, like video and photo, right?
Yeah.
And print. And so we get so conditioned and brainwashed essentially that we need to look a certain way and fit in a box. And if you don't, there's something wrong with you. And so then what do? They've created the problem and they create the fake solution, which is, oh, now diet, eat less, exercise more, workout, like all of that stuff. Mm. And so you just take on, I started dieting in my early, like preteens, like my first diet was the gazpacho diet. I literally tried to eat that for like, I made it 10 days worth. I could only do it once and I threw it out. Like, so onions.
Are we talking about gazpacho, like the like anti like pesto kind of thing?
Yes.
Oh my.
I didn't know
that that was a thing.
Yeah, I was 11 and my mom's like, I thought you hated tomatoes. What are you making? And I'm like, I didn't tell her I was going on a diet, but I'm like, yeah, like apparently you're going to lose 10 pounds in 10 days if you do this. Right.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
And so that just wove in and out through teens. And then where the binging really took over was I just had my first serious breakup and I was just so heartbroken. I could barely eat. And so I started losing weight really fast. And I was like, oh, if I have the perfect body, then it'll fix everything. Right. As we're conditioned to think.
Yeah.
And so I lost weight really fast, quote unquote, hit that goal weight, but nothing got better. It didn't make me happy. Like all the magazines said it would. My period disappeared. My hormones were starting to go out of whack. I became very critical of my body, even more than I was prior to. Mm. And I became very arrogant. So like my ego just took over full blown control. And it only lasted a few months before I had my first memorable binge after, you know, the ex didn't want to get back together because I had the body now because it was never about that. So I went to a barbecue. Of course, in that diet mentality, I'm only going to eat salad.
Yeah.
But then I had a piece of the ice cream cake and just had this massive dopamine high. And then this voice just came that's like, well, you already messed up. So like, screw it. Who cares? Just eat whatever you want. So I had another piece of ice cream cake. I stole the chocolate bar off the counter that was for the s'mores because they were going to have a bonfire later. Mm. Ate it in the bathroom.
Made up
a story of having to leave, drove through the drive-thru on the way home, got like burger, fries, ice cream, like all kinds of stuff. Went home, had my first real binge. Obviously felt absolutely horrible physically and so much guilt and shame. And then the next morning woke up, skipped breakfast. Like I have to go work out for 2 hours and try and make up for it. And that birthed the binge all or nothing mentality of either trying to be all in restricting and trying to fix the overcompensate or the overconsumption or the fully losing control and like binging through, you know, so much food until I was so full, I was sick. I did go through a period of binging and purging for 6 months because I really thought, well, if I'm purging, I'm not going to gain weight. But obviously that just is so destructive to the body that it obviously made it easier for my body to not feel safe and hang on. So that was a very shameful and disappointing time of my life because to go from your quote unquote thinnest when you're caught up in that whole body image unworthiness struggle to now being like gaining 80 pounds in 4 months and now being my heaviest, it was, I just wanted to hide at home. I didn't want to go and do anything or see anyone or date because I just felt so unworthy and I didn't really know what was going on. And that really continued for like a year. And I was just working like crappy retail job. I was working at Lululemon. And, you know, people always say, well, what was the low point? Like what changed this for you? Because I was spending my little bit of money I was making on like binges 5 or 6 nights a week. Like it's not a typo when it says $50,000 I spent on binge foods in 5 years because it was like $80-$90 multiple nights a week.
That's right.
Like it adds up fast. And I'm like, oh, I don't have money for gas. So I guess I'm not going to go anywhere. Like it was a serious addiction for me. And it's so funny because I call it the ego mind, that limiting voice in the mind. It's just like, it's not a big deal. It's not that bad. Like food's your friend. Who would you be without food? You'd be nothing. You would not know how to cope. And there was a fear of the unknown of, well, what if I try to deal with this? You don't even know what I would do. What if I fail? What if I don't have food as a crutch? It's too intimidating. So I kept sitting in the space of denial as I was suffering, gaining more weight, digestive system, just a mess, so bloated, so much pain, so puffy, so much brain fog, exhaustion. Obviously my mental health took a huge hit, right? So all this is occurring and I'm just sitting in this denial. Like it's not a big deal because I'm too afraid of what, you know, facing it and addressing it could look like.
Yeah.
And then I had one evening and now I was more aware that I was binge eating and like what I was doing, but I still didn't know how to deal with it. But I just finished a binge and I always threw the food in the garbage because I always knew it's a turnoff. If I throw it out, I'm not going to go dig through the garbage. I'm never going to stoop that low. And that night I'd finished the binge. I was just laying on my couch in tears, just, you know, scared for my life, to be honest, because I'm like, if I keep this up, I'm not going to make 30. I'm not going to be here. I'm being so destructive to my body. I don't want to do this, but I don't know how to change it. And that's the thing with addiction is you don't want to do it, but you don't know how to stop.
Yeah.
So about an hour later, the food settled. And then I was like, oh, well, if this is the last time I'm going to do this, I might as well eat the rest of the food. And so that night I did. I went into my little apartment and pulled out my little blue garbage can, dug through, specifically was Oreo cookies, ate them, and just sat on the floor and just had that low, like, what the hell did I just do? I just ate into a garbage. How is this my life? Like, how did this, how did I get to this point?
Yeah.
Right. Like, I just ate out of my garbage. Who am I? Mm-hmm. And why that was such a powerful moment, though, was it crushed all my fears, the fear of the unknown, the fear of failure, the intimidation, you know, the hanging onto it as a crutch. It crushed all that. And it crushed the denial that it wasn't a big deal. It was a big deal. I was spending and wasting so much money I didn't have. My bank account was always in the red. I had a crappy retail job. I was alone. I was isolating from friends and activities. Like, it was a big deal, obviously, in the way it was impacting my body. And I was like, you know what? I can't just tolerate this anymore. I can't sit in denial. I've got to try and figure this out. And so what I describe it as is I felt like I was on the edge of the Amazon jungle with a butter knife, just getting ready to try and like find my way through the like thousands of miles to the other end. That's what it literally felt like. But I'm like, there was this invisible guidance. It must have been my higher self or like my team or like source, but it was just like, you'll figure it out. Just go. And that's literally like how the healing started. But I just felt this invisible pull, and I get chills still to this day when I just acknowledge that part, because it was like this invisible guidance that's just like, let's go. And so then the healing started, and it was really like a physical, then emotional, mental, then an energetic and spiritual healing that occurred. I'll pause there though, because I feel like there's so much, but that's what shifted things to start.
I mean, thank you for sharing all of those points, because I think that, you know, when we think about our relationship to food and we really dig into what that looks like, it has so much to do with what we witnessed growing up, how we were treated around how we looked, how we consume food, how our parents looked at and consume food, whether there was a lack mentality or an abundance of food, whether we were bullied. Like, there's just, there's so many different things. The media, as you spoke to, same thing, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, like all of these figures, it just compounds and it compounds and it compounds. And oftentimes what's at the root is like all of these overwhelming emotions, all of these things that we either don't have the capacity to look at or don't have enough support or just don't know where to start. So thank you so much for sharing that part of your journey, because I think it just highlights so many important aspects around food and our relationship to it and how food is treated sometimes as rewards or punishment or, you know, whatever that looks like, how it's about our social engagement with others, with our family, you know, and how, again, we relate to one another. So there's all of these different elements to unpack. So I'm happy we're here today unpacking some of them.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the other thing, and this is one of the first things I learned when I started healing, because the first thing I started to learn about was sugar.
Yeah.
Refined sugar. That is sometimes more addictive than cocaine. And when I learned that, I was like, I'm not crazy. Like, this food is making me lose control. It was only one aspect of it, but it was a big aspect, because I'm like, why is it specifically with sugar? Once I start, I cannot stop. And so learning, you know, the massive dopamine, you know, mood boosting neurotransmitter surge that you get, and that I had really low dopamine levels through antibiotic use and all the processed food I was eating, and like just all of these things, it was like, wow, okay, I'm not crazy. And I think that's one of the biggest burdens that anyone with any kind of addiction or like coping with anything, not just food, feels is like crazy. There's something wrong with me because I can't have willpower. I can't have control. And it's like, it's not about either of those things, and you're not crazy. It's that we're not taught the depth and complexity of food addiction, binging and purging, emotional eating, like whatever the scope is for you,
yeah,
and all the physical, mental, emotional, chemical, energetic, spiritual, like frequency parts of this looping behavior. Like, we're not taught. So how do you expect that you're supposed to just hop on a diet and it's all going to be fixed? Yeah. Right. It's so much deeper than that. And that's I just want to share that right off the bat for anyone who's going through this right now, because it's not your fault.
Mm-hmm.
It's so beyond what we've been taught.
Yeah. Right? And I think that that's the same for so many addictions. Yeah. Like, there is this through line of, we do the thing to feel better, to kind of lower our level of activation that we feel within, whatever mm-hmm. that is in regards to. And then our body learns that this is the thing that helps us feel better momentarily. And then we can't stop, you know, and I'm reminded of my alcohol addiction or my addiction to cigarettes back when I was a teenager, like tweening, like, yeah, like 11, 12, 13, and just being like, had my first drink and I felt different. I was like, oh my God, all these other things that I was feeling all the time just kind of went away.
Yeah.
Oh, that feels good.
Yeah.
And then it became a real problem, and definitely had so many of those like real low moments, like you speak to, of going into the garbage and like reaching for that Oreo. Mm-hmm. Like, I would never go that low. I had a moment like that with cigarettes. Mm-hmm. I like butt picked and smoked a stranger cigarette off the ground. And I was like sitting there kind of just staring blankly off into the distance. And I was like, did I just smoke a stranger's cigarette that was just laying on the ground? So
yeah.
I want to share that, because often these things we hide and they feel so shameful. And again, it's just our way of, like, something within us is just trying to turn down the dial
mm-hmm.
of yeah. what's going on within. So yeah, this is really important for anyone that's currently struggling with any kind of eating disorder, any kind mm-hmm. of addiction, really. It's like, what have we discovered about the connection between nervous system dysregulation and eating disorders? Because I'm pretty sure I've seen you post a few times about this as well, going into parasympathetic and sympathetic charge and like what that looks like when we're eating or when we're binging. So I'm just wondering if you also want to maybe speak to that.
Yeah, 100%. So, and that was like really the next phase of the journey, was understanding how I did not know how to cope with stress. My stress was through the roof. Mm. I was always in a negative worry, worst case scenario. So my nervous system was like totally taxed and overwhelmed and burnt out. My cortisol was through the roof. And of course, the cortisol is our stress hormone produced by our adrenal glands. And whether I was restricting and over-exercising 6 days a week, and of course, working out in the morning and not eating breakfast, which is the worst thing you can do for your metabolism and your cortisol and your nervous system, right?
Through the roof.
Or falling back into binge eating, and then all the guilt and the stress and negative self-talk about that, it was all just spiking my cortisol. And so what I find ends up happening is, when we have this stressed, overwhelmed nervous system, that cortisol's through the roof, it makes it so much easier to binge or to lose control with food. Number one, because when we're stretched too thin emotionally, we are more reactive, even to smaller things. Our ego's louder. We're more negative. We blow things out of proportion. We step more into that victimhood mode, and we play there a lot more because the ego thrives off of it and thrives off of our suffering. And we get some sort of pleasure response when we think that it's just who we are.
Yeah.
And so there's that aspect of it. And then there's the physical aspect, which is, your blood sugar is thrown way off. You have bigger spikes and drops in your blood sugar. So you have increased cravings for sugar, refined carbs, refined salt. So you naturally just want to go eat the bag of chips more easily, or eat the donuts and the cinnamon bun or chocolate or whatever it is. And then, of course, the more you do that, the more it throws your blood sugar off. And I often find, when a lot of my clients are in a dysregulated nervous system state, they have increased appetite levels as well. So it's like they're never satiated. And that also makes it easier to want to binge and lose control with food, right? So that's all going on. And then we have brain fog and low energy. And that kicks us into the I don't care mentality. I'm tired. I don't care. I'm just going to eat whatever I want. I'll try again next week, right? So we see how the dysregulation fuels physical imbalances, but also really makes it easier for that negative voice, that ego, to take over and really justify why it's a good idea. And then they all feed each other.
That's right.
And it's a huge series of triggers that I see for a lot of my clients and that I went through as well. And I think that then it makes your digestive system a lot more sensitive. And then it's like the wind is blowing the wrong way and you're getting bloated, even though you didn't eat anything. And then that's frustrating you. And then you have more pain and cramping and discomfort, and you have every food sensitivity in the world because your immune system and your nervous system are now like fully in overdrive, right? So it just starts to domino effect and impact every part of the body. Obviously your mood is significantly impacted, more anxiety, more depression, or like just lower states of feeling. And then on the energetic, you know, plane, it really impacts our frequency. So we're vibrating at a lot lower of a frequency. It's not your fault, but in these lower frequencies and vibrations is where we feel just heavier, more dense, more of these negative emotions and self-talk. And so then it makes it easier for us to be like, oh, I need a break. I need a pick me up. Let me go eat that sugar or drink that glass of wine or whatever the thing is. Right. But then it just drops our frequency lower. Mm-hmm. And that's where we tolerate low frequency behavior, like me eating out of the garbage, you finding the cigarette butt, like
smoking butts.
I dumpster dived one night after I threw the cupcakes out in the back, like where my apartment was. Like you call your ex and you know they're not good for you, but you're like, oh, I just want some attention. Like these are the kinds of things we'll do. And these behaviors keep us like in this. And so you wonder why can't I get out of debt? Why can't I get a better job? Why can't I attract the right partner? Why aren't my friends more aligned? Well, why am I not healthier? Well, it's all of this, right, that ideally we want to work through. So those are some of the things, the connections I see with the nervous system. There's probably more, but it's a lot.
Yeah. Thank you for that, because it is it's a holistic system.
Yeah.
You know, once you impact one part of that system, the other parts follow suit. It's connected. And so to say that, you know, it's always interesting to kind of follow the state, you know, when I have this emotion, this is the thing that I reach for, which is something it took me so long to realize and so long to track, because I'm not looking to actually be with any of that shit. I'm looking to get as far away from that stuff as I humanly can for my own survival, or at least that's what it feels like. When really the opposite is absolutely true. We're just welcoming in more of the same, when really, you know, we don't necessarily realize that there is a way out. There is a new choice that can be made. And that new choice is more readily available when we're not so inflamed, when we're not so reactive, when we're not constantly seeking external approval for everything. And how that ties into all of the wounding that kind of leads us down this path of constantly seeking things outside of ourselves. And I think that's part of the beauty of this work. What is the saying? And I always screw sayings up. All signs point to Rome. Is that right?
I don't know.
Sure. Someone can tell me. But basically, it's like all signs are pointing back at us.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean we don't require other people to help to step in our community, right? So many of our relational wounds come from these painful moments in time, like your moment on the bus, cute little Amber, you know? And quite often, some of these things we don't even remember, but they're stored deep within us. And so, there's so many different elements to this healing journey. But I find that, you know, once we release one kind of domino, that gives way for more awareness.
Oof. Yes.
Right? More awareness. And what does awareness do? It leads to a choice.
Yeah.
And more availability to have choice. And so, there's always an availability for healing to happen. And that's kind of my new stance on things. Because for a while, when I was really in the depths, that didn't seem possible. But like you, I had the moment with God or spirit, like many moments over the years, where it was just like, Lisa, this isn't you.
Yeah.
You know, and it took that other knowing to come in. Part of that, you know, that, wow, I've got this other thing that's living inside of me as well. I don't know exactly what it is, but it feels like maybe it could be hope. Maybe it could be something different. Maybe I am lovable.
Yeah.
Maybe I am worthy of treating myself better.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like that's one of the most beautiful things that is birthed out of choosing to muster up your courage and go on the healing journey and face the things and start, you know, starting to feel through them, because we're born worthy. We're born good enough. Yeah. We're born unconditionally, you know, loving ourselves, but then we get brainwashed and programmed that we're not. And then therefore we literally run our whole life and run the show from this state of lack and unworthiness and people pleasing and perfection and needing to prove, and we burn ourselves out. And then we get into these habits to numb, you know, our pain and sorrow. And so it's so important that, you know, we just open up a little bit to taking one step on the journey, because then it accumulates, right? And the awareness is the key. Like the first time I stopped to try and feel my emotions instead of just go to food, I was terrified. I'm like, half the earth is going to fall off and my apartment's going to fall through the cracks. And like, this is it. Like, oh my gosh, like this is my last moment. And then I sat, I was feeling fear, and I'm like, I'm going to just sit for 20 seconds.
That's right.
If I can make it through this 20 seconds, like, we're winning. So I did. And I felt, and nothing bad happened. And the earth didn't split in half and my apartment was still intact. And I was like, I felt the fear. And nothing bad happened. Wow. Yeah. Like, I can do this. And it feels so good that I didn't binge. And that like started to shift the momentum of like, maybe I can change this. Maybe I can do something about it. And like going, wow, okay, well, what's going to help me deal with the stress? Journaling, breath, meditation, baths with Epsom salts, like locking myself in my room after 7 PM because the evening was my vulnerable binge time. And I'm like, if I can just like catch that urge and get over it, like I'm going to unwire that pathway that I've wired in the brain. And then I found tapping, EFT tapping, and like so many great practices that started to help me work through my negative emotions, my fears, my insecurities, my limiting beliefs. And that was a savior as I started to figure out what was triggering me. Cause like you said, awareness is the key. If you're not aware of what's triggering you, if you're not aware of your body and your symptoms or how what you're doing is impacting you on any level, how are you supposed to change it? Yeah. So all of this birth, the awareness, the practices, the tools, starting to catch the triggers and unwire the old pathways and build the new. And this is where most people get stuck.
That's right.
Because they've been wired diet, exercise, meal plan, eat less, exercise more, eat clean, try this diet, try this eating style, just work out a little bit more, right? It's and a lot of people say to me, well, I know what I need to do. I just need to do it. And I'm like, I love you, but you don't know.
Yeah.
This is why you're still stuck. That is a limiting belief as well that keeps people stuck.
Yeah.
Right. So having tools and being willing to build awareness is a very important part of the journey that is going to help you gain the traction to do the healing. And as you do, you start to catch the negative self-talk and bring affirmations and like, you know, start stepping more into this identity of who you really are. And you start coming home to yourself. And that was like the spiritual part of the journey where I'm like, my intuition is strong and it's scary. So let me numb it out. Oh my gosh, I'm an empath. Scary. Let me numb it out. And it's like, no, like, let me learn how to feel safe feeling and navigating and having these gifts. And as you do, you feel so in your power. You feel so much more calm, grounded, in tune. You have more trust in yourself and faith in yourself and your abilities. You believe in yourself again. That's maybe you haven't believed in yourself since you were a child before you got all programmed or wounded, right? Like, and you come back online to all these aspects of you that have always been there, that have been disconnected. And that's what I call it. Like, we're plugging everything back in so you can really claim your power and just this love that you are, and this very, very important soul that's here on this planet playing a very important role, regardless of whatever it is. Yeah. But a lot of us don't get to remember who we are until we have some kind of experience like this.
Yeah. Yeah. I love what you said about coming home, because I often refer to it as that. What could be more brilliant than coming home to yourself and actually loving that self? You know, talking about self-love and actually experiencing it are two very different things.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and it's a beautiful feeling when you feel it for the first time, but you feel like a fraud when you stand in the mirror for, you know, the time to rebuild the self-love and you're like, I love myself. I love my, and then I'm like, no, I don't. Like, I don't feel anything. I'm a fraud. So, but that's okay because there's a repetition of programming we've received to make us feel like we can't love ourselves or we aren't worthy. So, of course, with repetition, we're going to
Totally.
reprogram the brain and affirm and fill that subconscious mind with all of these things that we want to feel and embody, and we will, it will click at some point.
Yeah, we make the space by being with our wounds, and then we fill the space with what we want.
Yes.
You know, but to do one of those pieces of the equation without the other, it's like there's always kind of just going to be a little bit of a lag somewhere.
Yeah.
Right, being with our wounds requires us to also be compassionate for, you know, the places that we were hurt and we made it our fault and we blamed ourselves and we took on the responsibility for everyone else and all of these other thoughts and opinions that were aimed towards us, you know. And sometimes it can take a while to unpack those things. Here's another saying that I think is right but may not be right. All the sayings. I know my husband's going to be like, oh no, she's pulling out the saying. She's going to get wrong again. Everything that is easy now was once hard. You know, we're
Totally.
speaking to repatterning things that may have been around since we were like 2, 3, 4, 5, as we're piggybacking on our parents' nervous systems and, you know, our grandparents and all of our caregivers and our siblings, and we're watching and we're sponges and we're taking it all in. We're taking it all in to see how we need to be in the world. So those things, they're inside of us. They're hanging out. They have made homes inside of us, right? Until it's time to look at those things and look at the places inside of us that, you know, maybe it's time for something else to take home. You know, maybe it's time for something else to take root. And when that happens, it's a felt sense. It's something that is like an internal feeling, you know, and then maybe from that point, all the affirmations that we've dabbled in, we start to have a feeling of those inside, you know, a
Yes.
feeling, an embodiment of that. And from that
Yes.
point, you don't got to worry about like passing by a Burger King, you know, going past your old cravings or whatever, because it doesn't really matter anymore. Or at least that's my experience of it. Like I can be around people smoking cigarettes. It took time for me to be away from my trigger. I needed to make space between myself and my trigger. And then one day I just like didn't even want or need to do that anymore. And what a lovely experience.
Yeah, the
So.
detachment is beautiful because I also had to create space for quite some time because my addiction was so intense. Not everyone's is, but that was important. And then you start to build the confidence, and the detachment is huge. Like, I have chocolate sitting in our spare room for the holidays that, like, I could care less that it's there. Like, if I want it, I could have it, but it feels so good rather than to be like eating it all in 3 days and like having all that, you know, happen. And so, and I feel like, you know, if we look at the energy of the planet and the ascension that's occurring, like as the energies continue to raise up and our frequencies increase, we are going to have more detachment to the old things that used to pull us back in because it's just really not a match anymore, and that's okay. And if it still is, that's fine. But it's just a detachment, and it's a great place to sit to be detached. Because then you can enjoy it if you want it. If you don't, you don't need it. And that to me is the best of both
Precisely.
worlds with food, because you can't quit food. You have to eat.
Now, you got to eat, and you know, dieting sucks. I
Yeah,
mean, for
it
me
does.
personally, you know, I think you were talking about the, what was it called again? The
The
gazpacho,
gazpacho
the
diet.
gazpacho diet. One year, I think a friend was like, yeah, just eat fruit, or specifically just eat an apple a day, or as many apples as you want for a week or something.
Oof.
And I was on day one and I was like, if I have to eat another fucking apple, I'm gonna actually be really upset about this, because I just couldn't do it. And then I would try all of these other things, all of these other diets, and it just felt more punishment to my body. It was calling for something else. And even if I think about the relationship to the foods that we reach for, you know, from a somatic and nervous system lens, it's like there are foods that are nourishing to our systems and to our nervous system. There are foods that are activating. There are foods that are depressing, you know, and what we grab for can give us an indication of what state we are most predominantly in. So I find that also that work fascinating.
100%. Yeah. And your cravings and what you're reaching for will really tell you a lot about what's going on with your nervous system and what deficiencies you have.
Exactly. Like,
I was reaching for sugar emotionally because there was a massive lack of joy and a void in myself, you know, a lack of sweetness. And so I was trying to use sugar to compensate. People that are really wired and stressed will crave a ton of salt, right? The comfort foods, the creamy and the breads and the pastas and the baked goods, like our cravings are always trying to tell us something. And the coolest thing about healing this is you no longer have any refined cravings. If you're deficient in something, you'll just, it's like, oh my gosh, I need a big juicy burger. Oh my gosh, I need a huge green salad with like this kind of vinegar and olive oil and all this fats or like whatever. But it's just like, you'll crave things your body actually desires or your frequency desires. And it's a whole different feeling because you eat it and then you feel like your energy shift or you feel your mood shift in a positive way versus like eating all this stuff and then just feeling like garbage. So that's the thing, is you clean up your internal body physically, emotionally, energetically, the refined cravings completely go away. And I had like 120 out of 10% cravings for sugar. Like I would leave parties. I would like lie because my cravings would kick up. I'm like, I need to get to the store before it closes. Like I have a thing that came up. See you guys later. Right. And I'd like speed to the store because I had to get my fix. So that's, you know, part of the power of doing the deeper work and looking at the different layers of the cravings is they're a teacher. The body's a teacher. The triggers are a teacher. The weight gain's a teacher. Weight is a protective mechanism.
That's right.
Right. So all of it's a teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. And that also kind of leads into my next question. Some of those reasons why we can't shed those unwanted pounds. I carried around probably for 5 or 6 years, a good extra 35 pounds. And it did not matter what I was doing. All of my old tools didn't work. I wasn't digesting properly. I would have oily films in my stool. That's a bit of an overshare, but I'm just sharing it because I wasn't able to digest life at that point and time. And I was so agitated. My system was so inflamed and I was in such a protective place and getting really angry that I didn't know how to move through it. I didn't know how. All I wanted was to lose the weight, but really underneath that, of course, was all of this stuff. So yeah, if you could speak to some of those other reasons that our body is holding on to those unwanted pounds, that would be awesome.
Totally. So we'll do a bit of each: physical, emotional, and energetic. So
all right.
Some of the biggest physical reasons I see women especially hanging on to protection, men too, hormone imbalances that go undetected. So I had all of them, see so many women with them, but if your cortisol's through the roof and you're in adrenal fatigue or adrenal burnout where it's too low, you will naturally retain more water, feel more puffy, abdominal weight gain especially, but it'll be really easy to hang on and a lot harder to lose because your nervous system's overwhelmed and your body's like, I don't feel safe, fight or flight. We need to protect you from the bear that isn't there.
Yep.
So cortisol issue, thyroid issue, hypothyroid, underactive thyroid. Now your thyroid and metabolism are very connected. And if you are skipping breakfast, you're under eating, then overeating, you have lots of inflammation in the body, poor gut health, you're not speaking your truth because that throat chakra, right? That self-expression, not choking your words back. If you're suppressing all of that, we can end up with that underactive thyroid. And I had that too. And so that will slow metabolism down, easy weight gain, really feels hard to lose. And when our nervous system is stressed, our pituitary gland overproduces what's called thyroid stimulating hormone. And then our thyroids, like our body and our thyroid, are essentially in an overstimulated state. And this is what causes the body to want to hang on. Estrogen dominance, if the estrogen levels are too high, body hangs on to weight really easily. And then if we get into inflammation, we can retain anywhere from 5 to 20 pounds of water. So if you have inflammation stemming from high cortisol, from poor gut health, from, you know, not sleeping well, from overwhelmed liver. Your detoxification systems are sluggish. Your lymph system is backed up. You're constipated. You're only having bowel movements once or twice a week, or you have loose stools. You're not absorbing, like you were talking about.
Yeah.
All of this can contribute to the body hanging on. You've taken a load of antibiotics and you have all kinds of candida, bacterial overgrowths. That all can make the body hang on. So those are physical things. Yeah. Binge eating, of course, the act of overeating and shoving the emotions down with food. Now, when we get into the, well, two other things: too much caffeine, not sleeping good, too much exercise, not eating enough diets, all that stuff. Emotional. Okay. This is, I find, the big miss. But if you've been suppressing your emotions for years or decades, mm-hmm. and you have, like we all do, a wounded inner child that's been ignored since your wounded inner child got wounded,
yeah.
that in itself will dysregulate the nervous system and make yep. your body want to hang on, because unconsciously you're like, I don't feel safe. I don't want to be seen. I don't want that thing to happen again to me. I don't want to get hurt. Gosh, it feels scary to imagine being successful and feeling worthy. So I'm just going to like puff up and like have this protective wall around me to keep mm-hmm. me, my insecurities and my wounded inner child safe.
That's right.
So when we start healing with our inner child and mending the past, I find that really helps to regulate the nervous system and make it a lot safer for the body to release. Personally, I've been doing so much work with getting vulnerable with money and finances, and like really clearing out fear around lack and like losing everything, even though everything's fine.
Yeah.
I have done so much sacred rage, like screaming into my pillow, beating it up, somatic shaking, meditation, and talking to my inner child. I was not at all desiring or needing to release any weight. But in the last year, because I go to my doctor every year and she like, they weigh you. And then she's like, oh, good for you. You've lost like 15 pounds. And I'm like, oh, like, that's good. I thought my clothes maybe fit a bit better, but I wasn't like, right. But I'm like, she's like, what did you do? I'm like, I literally been releasing like years of suppressed fear and lack. And she kind of is like, oh, okay, like see you later. And I'm like, I know, right? I felt my feelings and I released it and it feels so good. It's like that regulation of the nervous system. So it's like, even though the sleep hasn't been the best, like my body is feeling so much safer and clear. So this is why like the emotional piece is huge. And then there's this energetic piece of, the more aligned your environment, right? Like having, I don't know if it's certain like paintings on your walls or flowers or like certain crystals that ground the room or certain essential oils or the way you're taking care of yourself to attain a certain frequency. Yeah, it's going to ebb and flow a bit, but the more we feel safe with our intuition and our gifts and also have healthy energetic boundaries.
Boundaries.
Everything feels safer to help us let go. But if you're the people pleaser who's overbooked and overgiving and trying to prove to everyone that you're good enough and you're in an all or nothing mentality, your body's probably not going to feel safe because you're probably burnt out because you're on the back burner, right? So all of these things can contribute to the body wanting to hang on. It's never just physical.
That's right.
So and everyone has a wide array of these things going on. So it's like, be willing to dig and play and explore and get curious. Why are you hanging on? Why do you not feel safe?
Yeah. And again, you bring up another important point. If we can approach this from curiosity and play rather than like I'm doing an eye roll right now, like, oh, there's more I have to do. It's like, you don't necessarily know what one step is going to take. Like, what is the result of that one step that you're taking? Because as we've been speaking to, the system functions as a whole. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when we address a few different key points, then the other stuff just kind of falls into place.
Yes, it does.
And that's the joy of this. We don't have to go digging around every rock, every corner, take every test known to man. You know, even though sometimes we feel when we're in that like state of like, I got to do this, I got to do that, all or nothing thinking, we feel like that's our life. Yeah. You know, I'm just constantly searching for ways to heal. Mm-hmm. And then we're not enjoying our environment. We're not enjoying the people that are in our lives. We're not enjoying what is because we can't see it.
You're 100% right. And
yeah.
And that's the thing is we've been conditioned that you have to punish yourself to lose weight, right? You have to diet restrict, go to the gym and do exercise you hate, And it's like, what if it could actually be so much easier in the sense of no punishment, but instead like we're getting curious and working through the layers. And like when I finished binge eating, I gained like all the weight back again because my hormones were a mess and my body didn't feel safe. Yeah. I was still exercising 5 days a week in the morning. It was still messing with my hormones.
Yeah.
So I quit that. I rested, truly. I rested.
Resting.
I focused on sleep, gentle self-care, maybe the odd leisurely walk. It melted off.
Yeah.
Because I was now focusing on safety and rest instead
That's
of
right.
force. That's how easy it gets to be in the sense of no more punishment.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's how I see it with my clients. It's not force. It's like as the healing occurs, it clears. And if it doesn't, well, there's something else for us to explore and look at, but then it does.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a teacher. If we can shift our
Totally.
perception to that, whatever's going on for you as a teacher, whether it's a skin issue, a weight issue, a binge eating, like nervous system stuff, it's a teacher. Are you willing to let your body guide you? Because your body is the map.
Are we willing to let our bodies guide us and do so in a way that feels pleasurable and okay enough to explore the different possibilities? You know, because sometimes we will tend to go towards what we know and keep going towards what we know, even when that shit ain't working no more. You know, when you're going to the gym, you're like, I'm still going to the gym 5 days a week. How long did you do that for? Probably a while.
Yes.
Before you're like, well, this isn't working. So maybe it's time to look at one of these other areas. Right? Whether that be spiritually, emotionally, whatever, energetically, it could be any one of those things that's calling to you. And there are always little signs, little breadcrumbs that are left, you know, whether it be that friend that's like, oh, I know this woman that does this emotional release technique. And you hear the name of this woman's name four times.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, oh, well, maybe I do need to go and see this woman. And it's curious. Oh, I never would have maybe thought that for myself. So we're always kind of given these little bits of information. It's like not necessarily the whole picture again, because that can sometimes be overwhelming.
Right.
But it's these little things. They're like, here you go.
Yeah.
Here's one little piece of cheese or a brownie to use food. But, you know, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
When we can start noticing those things.
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest like blocks that the media and all these systems infiltrate within us is the ability to, we don't trust ourselves. We don't trust our bodies. We get into this mentality that my body's out to get me because she's
That's
gaining
right.
weight. She's bloated. She's this, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
She's not working with me.
That's right.
And then we don't trust ourselves and we don't trust the intuition, which can be another breadcrumb. Like my intuition the whole time was like, stop going to the gym. Like you, your body wants rest. And I'm like, no, no. Like I'm up in my head. Like this is what I need to do. Cause I got programmed.
Yeah.
And so the more you heal, the more you trust your intuition, the more you trust your body.
Yeah.
And people go, well, I don't know if I can trust my intuition. And I'm like, your intuition was forged out of love. It's your mind that got conditioned to deceive. You can trust your intuition. It has your greatest good, but it's opening up the connection enough so that you feel it.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
So that's another gift of the healing is you deepen this connection with the intuition and you learn to trust your body, which once you have that trust, you're unstoppable, whether it's
Absolutely.
Emotionally, physically, spiritually, because it's there and then no one can take it away from you.
Yeah. You've got this foundation. This really, really strong and yet flexible foundation. And again, that doesn't mean you're not going to be faced with life. Like life's not going to stop happening.
No.
It means that you're better equipped to love yourself, hear your intuition. Because this is another point I just wanted to like round back to. When we're in nervous system dysregulation, people are like, oh, I can't trust, you know, what my body is telling me, because your body is reliving all of these things from the past. So this is something I just really want to put a marker in. We need to be able to clear some of those things out so that our system can effectively and correctly let us know what's right for us. And it's nuanced. You know, what you were speaking to before, like instead of grabbing for something that maybe is like high in some sort of fat, you know, like let's say like, you know, the go-to is French fries or something like this. you know, what is your body actually needing? In order to get those clear signals, we need to like remove some of that armor and some of that layering and like, where are we sitting in the system to be able to receive these clear messages?
Yeah.
Because when we are in pleasure, when we are in curiosity, when we are in social engagement, all of these things just start to make more sense and become more clear. And the intuition starts to be seen more, not as if it's not there ever, but it just wasn't recognized for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's a peaceful, freeing experience to have that kind of connection with your body and your intuition again. It is freedom.
Yes.
And when you have that freedom, even though life happens, it's so much easier to navigate because you're not also fighting with your body and food and a bazillion symptoms and cravings and losing control again.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's very empowering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look at all of these different things that we do now, less about, it's still a healing journey, but it's more of like, to me, like self-empowerment.
Yeah.
It's like now, like I do these things now because I'm interested to see like, what is my potential?
Yeah.
I already know the opposite of that shit.
Yeah.
I want to know what my potential is and how exciting is that, you know, that whole idea of we're more afraid of our light than we are of our dark. I would say they're equal on the scale. We gotta somehow figure out how to be with both.
Yes.
You know, and that requires all of us. All the parts, the little Amber on the bus, the little butt picker Lisa, like all that sounded bad. Butt picker in all the ways. But you know what I mean? It requires the joyous parts too.
Mm-hmm.
Requires being able to receive them all.
Yeah. 100%. You know?
And so sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna quickly say, and same with the ego mind. Like we'd be like, oh fuck the ego mind, but it's like it's part of you and it's also a teacher.
That's right. That's right.
So.
Yeah. And further to that, I'm just wondering, so going back to the physical body, are there certain tests or anything like that, that when you work with clients that you recommend them getting so that they can get a clear picture? If not, that's fine too. It just popped into my head to ask.
Of course. No, for sure. So I do testing with all of my clients because every single person, every single woman has had hormone issues.
That's right.
I've never had someone not, and 10 years now and thousands of women like that. Sadly, is not good odds, but we want to find the issues.
Yes.
So depending on location, we either do requisition if it's local, otherwise testing is shipped to them depending on where they're at and they can do it at home. But it's, we do cortisol testing. We do full thyroid testing. We do estrogen and progesterone, testosterone and DHEA, we do inflammatory markers, and then we can do like vitamin D, B12, iron, right, to see those deficiencies. Some women want their cholesterol and their insulin tested. So, you know, we can really look at things. Like I just had a client last week and her thyroid came back really wonky. And so we just tested then for antibodies to make sure there was no Hashimoto's autoimmune condition, which there's not, which is great, but it's like just nice to be able to look at everything and then, you know, support the body naturally. So yeah, we make sure all that gets done because it's really important to see, you know, what kind of deficiencies are going on. Sometimes we'll do like testing for candida or other gut stuff, but I find usually through the hormones and the assessment and their symptoms, we're able to support most things without it. Yeah, that can be done as well if need be.
Wonderful. And I'm also wondering if you would give us a few ways that we can support ourselves with our emotions and our eating patterns over the holidays and beyond. It's that time of year. So
oh my goodness, is it ever? Food's everywhere.
Food's everywhere.
Yes. So I think number one, the first biggest thing is try to have compassion for yourself if this has been a vulnerability for you, and be honest with yourself if it is, because I think one of the first ways we start to lift the burden off of our back is to just admit like, wow, I'm really vulnerable with food. These foods I'm really vulnerable with. And wow, like I've been so hard on myself about this. Can I have some compassion?
Yeah.
Soften. And then from there, I think here's some of my key tips. First thing is, before you go to the store or to the family gathering or the social event, can you check in with your emotional state and your physical hunger state? Because you're going to be more aware of your triggers. And it's like, if you know you're already triggered to want to binge or overeat before you go, it's like, okay, can I take a few minutes and like breathe or write about what I'm feeling or do something to help get some of this emotion out so I don't go into this experience so heightenedly stressed or emotional, knowing that I can lose control. From a physical standpoint, don't wait all day to eat before you go to that event or that dinner. You're messing your blood sugar up. You're increasing your chances of overeating. Eat breakfast, eat regularly through the day, and have lots of good proteins and fats with your meals. This will regulate your blood sugar. You'll go satiated into that meal and you will be less likely to overdo it. And I always say, add lots of protein, veggies, whatever kinds of fats are available, and have that first. That will help fill you up, and then pick your favorites. Like, I'm Ukrainian. We love pierogies. We've got lots of doughy things, right?
Same.
You know, girl. Yeah. So it's like,
I know it.
I have all my turkey and this amazing ham and like vegetables and gravy. And then I have my nice little pierogi, like nalisniki corner. I still enjoy it, but I want my blood sugar to be regulated first.
That's
and then
right.
By the time I finish that, I'm like, I'm full, I'm satiated, that was enough. It feels good rather than like all pierogies and a little bit of like, you know, that's how it used to be. Really, I'm not going to get to eat this for another year. Now it's like that lack mentality with food. And that's my next point.
Yes.
You could truly make gingerbread cookies in July if you wanted to. You could truly make an eggnog recipe in September. You could make pierogies in March. Uh-huh. So it's like getting into this mentality of, there will be more. There's always enough. I could truly choose to have this anytime instead of the lack, like, well, I can only have this during Christmas, so I better have as much as I can.
Yeah.
Shift and catch that and go into an abundant mentality with food. And then to support your gut, like if you're a bit more sensitive, take a, you know, ginger peppermint tea, take a good bromelain and papain digestive enzyme with you to have with your meal. Chew slowly and thoroughly. Eat mindfully. Put your fork down between bites. Enjoy the food. Have gratitude for it. Engage in the back and forth, right? Have the conversation. Take in the experience. Make the memory. And ideally, digest a bit before you have dessert, because sometimes if we have too much sweet on savory, it can give us bloating and heartburn, and we don't want to do that. So those are some of the tips. And keep up your self-care routine through the holidays so you have practices to help ground you and energize you and just check in on your emotions.
Those are some of the best tips ever. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So I'd love for you to tell us how we can find you, work with you, and learn more about your offerings, if you have any events or workshops or anything else that you'd love our listeners to know about.
Yeah. So the first best place is amberapproved.ca. That's the website. You can learn more about body freedom. There's also a free emotional eating quiz there. So if you're wondering if you're struggling, you can take that and we'll get you some podcasts and other great free resources. There's also the podcast is called the No Sugar Coating Podcast, and there's over 400 episodes. So if you love today's chat and you want to dive deeper into all these things that we talked about today, you'll be sure to find some amazing episodes to assist you on your journey to build awareness. And that's also available on the website and all your major podcast apps. And last but not least, if you're wanting to take a further step and explore some kind of a journey or support, the best thing you can do is book a 30-minute body freedom consultation, because then we can talk about what's going on for you and we can talk about what kind of support, what path feels best and is most aligned, and then get you on that journey. And that's all available at amberapproved.ca. And then I'm on Instagram and it's my name, Amber Romaniak.
Thank you so much, Amber. I'm going to put all that in the show notes. What a beautiful, eye-opening, vulnerable conversation. I just want to thank you so much for sharing your gifts with the world. Thank you for doing you. Thank you for loving up little Amber so you can be here today. Yes, yes, yes. And yeah, it's just been an honor. Thank you, Amber.
Thank you for having me and creating this space for us to share our stories. We're so grateful for you.
Thank you so much. So enjoy the rest of your day and bye for now.
As always, thank you so much for listening. Life is busy, so it means even more to me that you are here. Listen, we've got so many great episodes coming up, so please make sure that you follow along on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you are listening. And if you appreciate these episodes, please do us a favor and leave a review and share the show with anyone you think this episode would benefit. See you again next week. Bye for now.